At 8:22, this is KERA News. I'm Sam Baker. The Texas House today will hear a bill that would bind electors to support the winner of the statewide popular vote. Now, that issue came up during the presidential election when an elector announced he would not cast his vote for Donald Trump. Holdouts would be ineligible to serve, banned from ever serving again as an elector, and immediately replaced to finish out the vote. There was a surprise for North Texas in the U.S. News & World Report's latest rankings of the best high schools in the country. The Dallas School District's School for the Talented and Gifted dropped to fourth place. It had ranked number one for the past five straight years. As part of our American Graduate Initiative, KERA Education Director Kit Lively talked with Eric Austin about these rankings and how much weight we should give them.
Kit Lively, thanks for stopping by.
Hi, Eric. Glad to be here.
So after all these years, the School for the Talented and Gifted gets kicked out of this number one spot. What's going on?
Well, an Arizona chain of charter schools got the top three spots this year. And being tagged as the best in the country gives you great bragging rights. But dropping to fourth best isn't really a steep plunge. Given that U.S. News includes more than 20,000 public high schools in the rankings, so number four is still pretty good.
So there are lots of good schools out there, schools that are widely recognized as top schools, but they don't show up in these top rankings. Why is that?
Of course, everyone can't be at the top. What's important to note is that in the U.S. News rankings, magnet and charter schools generally fare very well. The top three schools are charters in Arizona, and so are number five and number seven.
So why do magnets and charters do well on these lists?
Well, that's because they often have a specialized curriculum and graduation requirements, and it can be competitive getting into magnets. That means charters and magnets also tend to have much smaller enrollments, and that makes it easier to make sure all kids are on track. And that helps improve their academic performance. But, you know, even considering those caveats, you do wonder why a lot of highly respected schools in North Texas don't rank as high as you would expect. I mean, who makes the cut is kind of a black box, even when you read all the details of how the rankings are conducted.
And what makes this so confusing is that different publications have different rankings and different criteria.
That's right. The School for Talented and Gifted is number four in the U.S. News rankings, but number 26 on Newsweek's most recent ranking.
So why the difference?
Well, each ranking considers different factors, but they all give heaviest weight to traditional academic measures. They don't give credit for things like extracurricular activities, or career and technical courses, or creative programs like emphasis on the arts.
Let's drill down on some of these ranking criteria for the different publications.
Well, U.S. News looks at three things, basically. It's performance on the state tests, like the STAR, graduation rates, and the percentage of kids who pass at least one exam in elite programs like the Advanced Placement. They also consider school demographics like poverty and race. Newsweek looks at all those things and adds in college enrollment, SAT scores, and dual enrollment programs. The Washington Post also has rankings, but they look almost exclusively at participation in AP and International Baccalaureate.
Let's focus on the U.S. News rankings. Why does the School for the Talented and Gifted go from number one year after year and then move down to number four?
The answer takes you into the weeds, but that's interesting.
Okay, let's go into the weeds then.
Here are the weeds. The rankers don't actually visit these schools. They just create a score based on how they perform on a small number of data points we just talked about. So that means there's really not much room for difference among the top schools. So comparing number one to number four or number 10 doesn't really mean much. But you can't really call it a ranking if you say all the top schools are comparable, so you have to find ways to differentiate them. This year on the U.S. News rankings, the top 25 schools were so close that they used a tiebreaker that was based on the number of AP exams their kids passed instead of just the percentage of kids passing one AP exam. Another reason a school's rank might change from year to year is that factors used in the rankings can change. This year, the International Baccalaureate program told U.S. News that it couldn't provide pass rates as it had in the past. So schools that emphasize IB programs probably lost ground, even though they still have one of the toughest academic programs in the country.
So how much should we rely on these rankings when we're considering the quality of a school?
Boiling a complex institution like a high school or a college or a hospital down to a single score means you have to ignore a lot of qualities that aren't included in the ranking but might be important to the school's success. Let's say you have a school with a lot of kids who are learning English. Seeing more students graduate with strong English skills is a great achievement, but it won't show up in the rankings. But it's just good to keep in mind that no single number, not a ranking or a score on a state test, can tell you everything important about a school.
K. Kit Lively is KERA's education director. Kit, thanks so much.
Thanks, Eric. It's good to be here.
100 years ago this spring, the U.S. entered World War I, and the country emerged as a world leader. As Think broadcast from Washington this week, the team visited the Capitol to ask people what they think America's role in the world should be today.
I'm Maggie Strauss from Philadelphia.
I think we should help out countries that are having issues. I think we should accept refugees and not turn them away or block immigration.
Maureen Harvey, and I'm from Schererville, Indiana. America's role in the world should be one to bring everybody together and to rule out terrorism and make all countries safe.
Andrea Abdullah, Goose Creek, South Carolina.
I think we need to be aware of what's going on, obviously, and I think we don't need to be everywhere all the time, but to protect our interests, we need to be aware and be ready to act if necessary, certainly.
Chester Joy, I'm from D.C. I think we should be a beacon of individual liberty.
Angie Hillier from Indianapolis, Indiana. Honestly, we tend to be in other people's business a lot, and we don't really tend to take care of a lot of things that's going on at home. So I think we need to take more time into taking care of things going on here before we help other countries out.
My first name is Rajesh. Last name is Ganeshan. I am from India.
You should be like an example for the other countries. That's what I would say.
Tony Chikuma from Alexandria, Virginia. I guess maybe take the lead on some issues around the world. That would be good. You know, like air, like Syria and things like that. Try and have more conversation instead of blowing people up.
Today at noon, Chris Boyd talks about the 100th anniversary of America's entry into World War I with curators from the Smithsonian. In the forecast, a high near 82 today under partly sunny skies, 70 degrees now in Dallas and Fort Worth.